It's a mess in this attic. Lot going on, but there ain't no need to panic. Come on up and join, we getting wild, getting manic. Spitting truth for all you fanatics. Every week got something new to say. Ain't no filter, this shit coming straight from the brain.
It's coming straight from the brain.
Yeah, it's coming straight from the brain.
What's up, everybody? Today is Tuesday, February 23rd, 2001. This is A Talk in the Attic, and I'm your host, Kirk Ross. Coming to you just 7 days removed from the frigid conditions in which you'll forever remember as the day you learned about perineum sunning, which we did last Tuesday in single digits, and now we're something like 40 degrees warmer. As we like to say in Michigan, if you don't like the weather, just wait 5 minutes. But I have some potentially devastating news for at least some portion of this Michigan-heavy audience. That whole, if you don't like the weather, just wait 5 minutes saying is not exclusive to Michigan. People all over the country, the world even, apply the same adage to their own local climates. Mark Twain once famously turned the phrase about New England, in fact, but I've also heard it applied in Texas, Nebraska, and of course, Colorado. So when I said, if you don't like the weather, just wait 5 minutes about Michigan, it's likely that all of you non-Michigan residents thought to yourself, "Psh,
we say that here too, you idiot. Weather is dynamic in more places than only in your sheltered little existence, Kirk."
Those of you living in LA, on the other hand, probably thought, "What's weather?" Or maybe, "Wait 5 minutes? That's an entire third of the fame I hope to achieve here." In my traveling days, I learned that people across the country are certain of only three things. One, that they deal with far less predictable weather patterns than the rest of the world's population. Two, that drivers in their particular roadways are worse than any other drivers anywhere in the world. And three, that their Major League Baseball team has the worst bullpen in the entire league. But these universally held beliefs can't possibly be true for all of us, right? Of course they can't be. Of course they can't be. Not when we're already in agreement that the most dynamic weather, the most dangerous drivers, and the least reliable relief pitching already call Detroit home. I'd like to ask, why do you suppose people from all over truly believe that their weather and their drivers and their bullpens are the worst? Why the brewery around the corner from whomever you're visiting is the best? But we already know the answer to that, don't we? Each of us only knows our own life experiences, so life through any one of our individual lenses is nothing if not entirely subjective. But entirely subjective is a different way to say void of absolutes, which lands us squarely in the land of postmodernism and moral relativity, which ultimately, of course, devolves into nihilism.
Nothing changes. Fucking Nazis.
They were Nazis, dude?
Oh, come on, Donnie. They were threatening castration.
Uh-huh.
Are we going to split hairs here?
No.
Am I wrong?
Well,
nihilists, man.
Huh?
They kept saying they believed in nothing.
Nihilists. Fuck me. I mean, say what you want about the tenets of National Socialism, dude. At least it's an ethos.
We all want to believe that some universal truths exist, that absolutes are more than just aspirational. So the moment that we realize that all of which we know is skewed and biased can be a slippery slope for us psychologically. If you're just now learning that citizens of other regions believe that their weather is more unpredictable than your weather, then I apologize for shattering your worldview. I hope you've not entered an existential black hole filled with dashed dreams, unexpected rain showers, and high earned run averages. But it's okay. In fact, that's the beauty of this concept, the very one that is sending you into this crisis. The world, by all accounts, remains unchanged as a result of this sudden realization. And with this realization, we can do but two things. A, use it as an excuse to give up. And if nothing matters, then neither do you. But this option, of course, is not advisable. Or B, use this realization to liberate yourself from the fears that are holding you back from your highest potential. It's not that nothing matters. It's that everything matters the exact same amount, including you and your ideas. This is a great time to remind all of you that I need your help. Please support the show by sharing your favorite episode with a friend, or maybe by writing a review on Apple Podcasts, which helps a lot, or maybe by becoming a supporting member on patreon.com/atalkintheattic. Whatever it is you can do to support what we're building here, thank you. I also want to thank the Michigan Podcasting Network. I need to thank Loverboy and Hilton, the musicians who created that awesome theme song up top, and to our supporting partners at Sentoani in downtown Holland, Michigan, offering custom tables using live edge lumber from local sources, as well as thestandingdesk.com, where you can find height adjustable desks for any need. Big ups to all these great partners. With that, I want to pick up where we had left off. But first, let's start the show. Let's start the show. Let's start the show. Okay, where were we? Oh, that's right. We were learning for the first time that everybody believes that their weather is the craziest, which kind of taught us that we're all living in our own little bubbles made up of bias through impossibly limited experiences, sending some of us into a spiral of existential dread and terror. But this isn't that kind of episode. People. Besides, most of you are still recovering from last week's discovery that some people actually believe that opening your asshole skyward for a minute of sunshine is the secret to vitality. I'm not going to put you through another one of those, not back to back. Instead, the remainder of today is going to be spent talking about a unique experience I had this past weekend. Jessica and I tagged along on a small ski trip up north with a tight-knit group of 30-somethings, most of whom had known each other since grade school. My brother-in-law was our ticket in, but Jessica knew almost everyone there too, putting me in the role of the most outside of the outsiders here. Sure, there were a couple other greasers there, but I was Pony Boy.
Stay gold, Pony Boy.
Gold? I think it's jaundice, Johnny.
Don't get me wrong, I wasn't made to feel like an outsider whatsoever. Most of the folks there I had met in the past and enjoyed being around them all. But you know how it is when an outsider or an out-of-context friend joins your crew from Little League? It could be a recipe for disaster. But all went really well. I had a blast. I felt welcomed. I met some great people. Reinforced a few new friendships as well. As the most outside outsider there, I was able to distance myself from the center of it all more easily than I typically feel I can in most of my other social interactions. As is the case with most of us, we are typically around a select inner circle with whom we're at the center or near the center of the hub of the group. Plus, the events of the past year have limited our sphere of influence to an even smaller circle of folks. Just setting up some context here for the takeaways that I'm about to share, that's all I'm doing here. Point is, by both experience and by my own psychological profile, I don't have much experience in the art of falling back. But this ski trip offered me just the opportunity to do something different. And as we all know,
Zima, something different. And different is good.
So more so than normally, I found myself moving from small convo to small convo kind of as a background player. I talked less. I listened more. I observed social dynamics without any pre-existing personal biases. And in doing so, I was able to see the shortcomings of my standard modus operandi. It was a little intimidating heading into a weekend with people I've only hung out with a time or two before. Parts of me were silently considering whether or not I even wanted to go, but that was just the fear talking, of course. But by agreeing to something that, while far from scary, still instigated a little bit of anxiety, I was given an opportunity to play a different role than I'm used to, and I'm so glad that I did. Now, all that said, it's important to note that I wasn't exactly a wallflower the whole weekend either. Yes, I was removed from the hub of the group, but I wasn't going to disappear into obscurity. It's just not within my nature. Especially not with this much effing material at my disposal. So while blending into the background as much as I could, I also organized a documentary/podcast, which I recorded throughout Saturday and Sunday. Some of you are probably thinking, you assumed a backseat by directing a group of relative strangers in a nebulous creative endeavor? Wouldn't that require isolated interaction on a schedule throughout a weekend of relaxation with friends? I know, it doesn't exactly align at face value, but I can explain. Whenever I didn't have the mics and cameras going, I was fulfilling my outsider role within the group. I was still 100% myself, of course. I was just relationally detached more than normal. But when the mics and cameras were rolling, of course, I assumed my regular role that you've all come to know. I tend to slip into obsessive introspection at times, borderline rumination, in fact. And I'll spare you the full details here, but I have challenged myself by questioning my motive for executing this special documentary podcast the same weekend that I was supposed to be an outsider. I feel certain that my motives were pure, that I love audio and video production, I love talking to new people, and that as a still somewhat amateur non-drinker, I knew I'd have some time on my hands back at the cabin. I really do believe these were my intentions, I'm almost certain. But I do at least have to consider the possibility that the real reason behind it all, at a subconscious level even, was my ego feeling threatened by this reduced social role.
Trying to just blend in this weekend, eh, Kirk? Well, then watch this. Action!
Again, I don't think this is the case, but it's fun to consider all avenues when obsessively ruminating about life and our place in the world. After all, it wouldn't be obsessive rumination if even a single stone were left unturned, right? But enough about me. Let's move into the hype phase of the episode, because the footage I ultimately collected from this past weekend ski trip is truly spectacular. Through a series of roughly 20 interviews spread across 7 interview subjects, together we created a few hours of insight and perspective set against beautiful northern Michigan scenery. Intertwined among black diamond runs and black velvet shots, the interviews offer a truly beautiful mosaic of human experience starring old friends in new circumstances. I now have the task of reducing the 3+ hours of discussion hijinks into a tight and entertaining documentary of appropriate runtime. Holy smokes, I've been chomping at the bit to get into the editing section of the ski trip project. I've been excited about that since even before we were done filming. I'm so very excited to present this very special episode this upcoming Friday, February 26th. A Talk in the Attic presents The Ski Trip. Mark your calendars. Tell Siri to remind you, provided you're on speaking terms. Subscribe to A Talk in the Attic on YouTube. Do whatever you have to do to ensure that you do not miss The Ski Trip, dropping this Friday right here on A Talk in the Attic. Can't wait for y'all to watch it, listen to it. It's going to be great. Until then, peace out, everybody.